Hello!
And welcome to News Roast. I'm Julian Rubinstein.
And I'm Hayden Prowse.
And welcome to Three Courses
of Conversation. We're doing a new series. It's series three. We're not sure where this one's going to go yet, but we have as our guest today, Rants and Bants.
What's happening?
The most...
How do you describe yourself, Rants and Bants? I find myself watching you constantly on social media, and I'm wondering how much of your opinions have sort of seeped into my brain and have become my opinions through that sort of process of osmosis.
I don't know. People say, what do you call yourself? I don't call myself anything. I guess everyone's got an opinion about what it is I do, man.
Sort of a modern day messiah. slash comedian.
I wouldn't go for that. That's what I mean. I get the comedian thing a lot, but then when I get nominated for awards and I'm in and I see the categories of the people I'm in with, they don't do what I do. So it's, I don't know.
What sort of categories?
It used to offend me before.
Yeah.
Like when it says, best online comedian, and then I'm beside people that do sketches and silly videos, because then I'm kind of like, I don't do that. Do you know what I mean? So,
it's really serious.
I'm just kind of putting a serious spin on stuff that happens every day in life. Do you know what I mean? So it's I don't know, it's a strange one. It's a very strange one, man, because at the beginning I used to feel like the word comedian kind of took away from what I did. Do you know what I'm saying? Because when you look at like a Lee Evans and that, it's funny, but it's funny in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's different kind of comedy. So, you know what I mean?
Imagine just
I
was trying to imagine you and Lee Evans combined.
Would you understand?
In this really strange
when
physical
I get
comedy
exactly,
commentary
bro.
Of political.
Good
events.
Warm-up act for Lee Evans, I
but
think.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Similar
type
on stage.
Of thing.
But that's it. Everyone would just leave fucking depressed. By the time Lee Evans gets on, no one's laughing. Like,
the world is fucked.
They'll be like, everyone's fucked. Then Lee Evans comes out sweating and everyone's just like, yeah.
He is a sweaty dude, isn't he?
He is, man.
He sweats. Yeah, he talks about that a lot in the sort of run up to his shows. He has these sort of montages of him sweating so much.
Yeah.
What's most of your viewership? Where are they mostly from? Do you know who likes?
It's
who
very
loves
mixed. I had a live show at the end of last year, and everyone said like the diversity of the audience was ridiculous. Right. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was male, female, black, white, Asian, old, young. I had people as old as like 70 there, man. It was crazy. So I've got such a wide fan base. It's a blessing, man. I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it.
The first time that I properly remember sort of seeing a video that I was like absolutely blown away with, because I'd seen quite a lot of the videos before, but when we were hanging out, when we did another show and we looked at the video you did at the Tory Party conference.
Yeah.
And there's this beautiful relationship that you strike up with this dude who literally couldn't be more different from you. Right? What was his name?
Francis.
Francis. Yeah, now, Francis, he was a public school chap, wasn't he?
Yeah,
and he was frankly, let's say, he was far from woke.
Yeah.
You know, far from woke. So let's talk a bit about that. What was that like?
It was great, man. We went up to the Tory Party conference in Manchester. I went up there with my camera crew. Didn't really have anything scripted, like, I was supposed to prepare something, but I didn't. You know what I mean? As usual.
We can relate to that.
You know what I mean? People are like, oh, your videos are really well researched and well scripted. I'm like, they're not. Like, you know what I mean? It's just that I only speak about things that I have knowledge on. So that's why it seems like it's well researched.
Do you read a lot?
I read a lot, yeah. Man. And I'm someone who doesn't sleep much. So
you got a lot of time in your hands.
Yeah, literally. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll read the most random stuff. Like, I remember there's certain nights I wake up, I'm just reading about animals and like elephants and stuff. Like, random stuff. Like my general knowledge is so random. Like, do you know what I mean? Some things, I don't know. Sometimes I like reading anything.
Tell me something about elephants I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They were just talking about the elephants, like the relationships like in the animal kingdom and stuff. It's the same like with like the apes and basically the roles of the mothers and the fathers and that. And basically the dads don't stick around. So it's like humans, isn't it? So it's pretty much like humans, because when you analyze
absent elephant dads not paying their
that's it.
Their
when you analyze human behavior, yeah, you have to look at the animal kingdom. If you don't, you're a bit silly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you look at how they live, and you look that the mother's the nurturer, do you know what I mean? And even amongst lions, the mother's the hunter. She goes to get the food.
She does everything.
She gets food and she brings it.
Dude just sits around.
Just sits around and protects the family. Yeah, that's it. That's all he does. So, and then with the elephants, for instance, they stay around to make sure that their newborns are healthy, and then they're off looking for another woman.
Like, I expected that's just, more of elephants.
Nah, man, that's
I thought
just
elephants would be a bit more sort of woke.
I'm seeing a new sort of line of career here as well.
Naturally,
like after sort of yes. social commentary, you know, you yeah. can sort of like David Attenborough is not going to stick around
yes.
forever.
No, no, no.
It would be
the new choice, the new black David Attenborough.
Exactly.
Let's do this.
Left field David yeah. Attenborough.
It's mad. But I find their behaviour interesting, man, because you can trace a lot of stuff that human beings do back to the behaviour of animals, do you know what I mean? So when a lot of people like to overlook that and say, oh, we're supposed to live this way, supposed to live that way, and then you look at how they live, and then it actually makes you think that actually, maybe not that we're not supposed to live yeah. that way. We're not that different, do you know what I mean? We seem to think we've got it all figured out, but actually, them guys are getting on better than us.
Yeah.
Do you sell online, eBay, Amazon, Magento? Then you need ShipStation.
It's the fast and easy way to manage and dispatch your orders all from one place.
Whether you're using eBay, Amazon, Shopify, or over 60 other popular selling channels, ShipStation brings all your orders into one place, making them really easy to manage on any device. Ethan Hayden. Even your mobile phone.
Even your mobile phone.
Indeed.
You can use ShipStation to compare rates from top couriers, including Royal Mail, FedEx, DHL and UPS. And whether you have one or hundreds of orders, ShipStation makes it easy to batch and print labels so you can get orders out quickly and keep your customers happy.
So no wonder ShipStation is a popular choice with online sellers across the UK. Now you can try ShipStation for free for 30 whole days, my friends. Plus you get a special bonus when you use the promotion code ROAST.
To get this special promotion, just visit ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in ROAST.
That's ShipStation.com. Then enter the promotion code ROAST. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen. Rance, do you like a starter? Are you a man who like a starter on a three-course meal?
I am, to be fair. It depends. Especially, I tend to be quite hungry quite a bit and I can't be asked to wait for the main. So, you know what I mean? That's kind of what it is. The starter just kind of keeps me going until the real stuff gets
What would
in.
You go for, like, standard, if it was, like, your dream starter?
Ooh.
Fish, meat. You're vegetarian?
No. I'm going to be real black and say chicken wings. You know what I'm saying? I love chicken wings, man. Do you know what I mean?
Man, that's so woke.
I love them. It is.
Just cultural appropriation.
I'm a simple guy, you know. Trust me. Like, loads of people are like, oh, what's your favourite meals and that? Like, I think spaghetti bolognese is up there. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you know what I mean? A lot of people come with all this fancy stuff. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I just want a spag bol and an apple crumble. Like,
well, that's nice. The new fancy. Basic is the new fancy. You've got to come with things like spag bol and people are like,
So what?
Sophisticated.
So what have you brought us for our metaphorical starter?
I'd have to say the H&M for Raw, man.
Ooh.
The other week. That was mental.
So that was a picture, there was an advertisement of a kid
in a hoodie
that said something. What did it say?
Yeah, coolest monkey in
coolest
the jungle.
Coolest monkey, black kid.
A black kid,
and there was
yeah.
a whole Ferrari over it. Everyone got very offended.
Yeah.
Calling H&M racist.
Yeah.
So what's your take on this? Let's rewind it back. Yeah. So this is a campaign for some new items of clothing.
Yeah.
And I think there was a further furore because in the initial picture that went up, there was also a white child pictured in a different hoodie that said Jungle Survivor.
Yeah.
So some implications there. What's your take on this?
First of all, people need to know, if anyone knows who I am, they know what I'm like, and I am not someone that's easily offended and I don't take life too seriously. So when sometimes you see a lot of fake outrage and you're just like, this is pathetic, like, you guys need to chill out. But on this instance, I could completely understand where the outrage was coming from. It was the people that were actually trying to defend it or try and make it out that there was some sort of accident. Like, I work in the media, like, I know how many eyes certain things have to pass before they actually see the daylight. Yeah. And anyone that works in that kind of industry, whether it's television, whether it's newspapers or whatever, the amount of eyes that these things pass before we see it, there was no accident. Because you can't tell me that everyone that did it, from even when they were approving the slogans to even get printed, all the way up until they were printed and put on the child, pictures were taken until they were uploaded. Not one person saw that and thought, actually, this is a bit, this is a bit close to the, nah.
So
come on.
Are you saying that you think that was purposefully racist?
Absolutely. And I think that also, It was brilliant advertising. I would love to see their accounts before this.
Because of the scandal?
I'd like to see their accounts before and their accounts after, because a part of me feels like their sales weren't doing too well, mate, because that's usually what happens when people, even with celebrities, certain celebrities and stuff like that, when they're becoming very irrelevant, no one cares about them. What do? You go on Big Brother, or you go on I'm a Celebrity, or there's some sort of scandal when people start talking about UKIP again.
When they redid their logo and it looked like the
Premier League logo. Exactly.
Suddenly everyone's talking about UKIP again.
There you go.
They don't care.
They use the Premier League lion, because why not? You're actually making yourself relevant. Like they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity, and I think that's exactly what they've done.
So you reckon that they did it on purpose? I'm not sure I agree with that. I think that the reality is that that's the kind of nature of white privilege, is some people not even understanding that that stuff is racist, which frankly I find more worrying because, you know, I have spoken to people who just don't get it. Right. I when I saw it, I was like, this is really, really messed up.
Mm.
And some people are like, you're just being too easily triggered. And I was like, no, I'm not. Mm. This is calling back to, particularly in America.
Yeah.
When I lived in New York, I was really stunned, like how much more people talked about slavery, how much more people talked, particularly like Haitians who I'd met. But I think that what I found most crazy about the whole thing, did you see his mum's post? The kid's mum's post
enraged me to the point where...
Me too!
She come out and she was saying, oh, I don't see the big deal X, Y, Z. But basically, she's a Kenyan immigrant, innit? So she doesn't understand. She's a Kenyan immigrant and she's in Sweden. My biggest problem with that is, fair enough, you don't see it from our point of view because you grew up in a different part of the world where probably you were a majority, which us in the West don't have the privilege of. But when you see the outrage of everyone else, for you to just take your money and just openly be dismissive of the millions of people that were outraged, like, that's disgusting, isn't it?
Let's get to the heart of this. So for someone who maybe has seen this and thought, God, is this such a big deal? Why is everyone so triggered, quote unquote, outraged, right? Break it down. Like, what is it particularly about this slogan that is not just offensive, but deeply racist and quite disturbing?
It's just, the funny thing is, what I would say is, you know, when you said the white privilege thing, cool. But my thing is, how many eyes? There's not one person that squirmed. Me as a black man, I've been called a monkey all over the world. I got called a monkey at 7 years old in this country, playing against Arsenal when I was in St. Albans by a little boy. Do you know what I mean? And I remember because I nearly got sent off that game and nobody knew why. Do you know what I'm saying? And it was mad. Like, absolutely crunched the kid. Ended up scored and I went to find him to celebrate. Like, do you know what I mean? And I was 7 years old and I remember it like it was yesterday because that was the only time I've ever been called that in this country. Do you know what I mean? When I was in the Republic of Ireland, I got called that again. You go to Eastern Europe, you get called that.
Yeah, you told me about that. When you're going through Eastern Europe, let's talk about that.
When I was going through Eastern Europe, it was ridiculous, man. I was in Lithuania, Latvia. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Like, look at you, like, you're pure dirt, man. And it's like, and even throughout the football world, which I come up in, players are getting bananas thrown at them all the time. So you can't tell me that you don't know that there's a relation between blacks and monkeys, because what other animals associated with bananas other than monkeys and apes? So when they're throwing bananas at players, like it happened to the English players when they were in Eastern Europe as well.
I mean, it's been very widely publicised, that
stuff.
That's
what I mean.
As well,
in Spain, Dani Alves got a banana thrown at him when he was playing for Barcelona. In Russia, black players walking off the pitch because they're getting bananas thrown at them, monkey
forget
chance.
Forget about it in Russia. I mean, the World Cup's going to be insane.
There you go. So you're getting monkey chants and bananas thrown at people. Yeah. So everybody knows there is something there. Like, you have to be living under a rock.
But
you,
does
you
know everyone?
Well, I was going to say, you know what you were just saying earlier about you're not necessarily into this sort of, like, everyone's very triggered and there's constant outrage over everything. And then you saw this and you're like, that is really offensive. Like, my sort of, like, whatever you want to call it, journey on this was, I saw it, I immediately thought to myself, there's no way that a major company like H&M would intentionally be racist. It's just so bad for their share price. You know, there's going to be all this scandal around it. They wouldn't, just for economic reasons, forget like cultural reasons, they wouldn't be racist because it would hit them badly economically. So I was just thinking, they wouldn't do that. So obviously someone's fucked up and everyone's kind of turning it into this thing where H&M are racist when really it's just this really, really bad mistake. Then someone, news listeners, I'm not black, I'm actually white. So obviously,
newsflash, Hayden is a white man.
I am a white man. So then obviously, you know, speaking to people that were offended of it, people of colour that I spoke to, and people explaining it to me, and what you just said, Joel, about the idea of white privilege not being sensitive enough to that issue within that cultural group to understand why that might be offensive, is offensive in and of itself.
Yeah.
But I'm with Joel. I can't imagine, it's such a stupid thing for a company to do that intentionally. I think it is, Joel's right, maybe more worrying that so many people saw that, and worrying for two reasons. Number one, because so many people have seen that, have been so culturally insensitive to how that might feel for black people, but yeah, also that probably every single person that saw and vetted that must have been white, because if there had been one black person,
of course they were,
if there had been one black person within that, yeah, that top sphere of advertising media that's making those decisions, that black person would say, guys, maybe not.
So yeah, my understanding about the way that a lot of these campaigns work is, yeah, yes, they're based in Sweden,
yeah,
obviously very small black community there,
yeah, there's none,
and there's a lot of people working in New York,
yeah,
right? Now I genuinely think most white people have no fucking idea about black history.
Mm.
None. I don't think they understand about the Haitian Revolution.
Largely because they haven't been taught about it in schools.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
the same,
it's not necessarily
as the British
their
Empire.
Fault.
No.
Like there's nothing in the curriculum about
there's
it.
There's nothing.
But the thing is,
that
what is white privilege? Like, what is it? Mm. Like, my understanding of white privilege is being in such a position that, like, exemplified for me by people like Katie Hopkins, right?
Yeah.
Who, apart from just being a hate preacher, is so ignorant, yeah, about a basic sort of day-to-day reality,
yeah,
of coming into contact with people and their genuine sort of physical, the microaggressions, the reality of, like, you know, my mate Errol, who's, he always goes on about how he could never get picked up in a black cab. Just teeny, yeah, teeny things. So, I mean, like, for people who maybe are listening to this, maybe they're in fucking Cornwall, there's about two black people,
yeah,
they've never even met a black person, right? What are these list of things that they are just not getting? Like, try and explain it. Because I genuinely think most people have got no idea.
I don't know. It's a hard one because, as I said, as a black person, when you grow up in this society, you see, it's like we live in a different world. Do you know what I mean? You see things differently. There's a lot of people, especially like white people, that say, oh, not everything's about race. But when you're a person of colour, it is.
Mm.
Because it dictates how you live your life. It dictates how you behave. Do you know what I mean? As a black man, I have to behave a certain way because I don't want to scare white people. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when it's late at night, I can't walk, like, with my hood up behind certain white people because I know they're going to get scared. Or if I'm in the elevator, I have to try and make them feel comfortable. Or if you're working for someone, you have to speak a certain way, or wear your hair a certain way, or dress a certain way because you want to make them feel comfortable. Everything you do in life is to make them feel comfortable. And then you get certain black people that act a certain way because they want to gain acceptance from these people. Do you know what I'm saying? So everything you do in life, you have to be conscious of the fact that you're a black man. Even by the way you speak to people, like if someone's raising their voice to you, you can't raise your voice to them because then you're being an aggressive black man and then X, Y, Z, like the list goes on. Do you know what I mean? So it's what, yeah, dictates the way we behave, the way we see life, everything.
Yeah.
So it is our reality.
So I'm fascinated by this because, you know, I've over the years worked with, you know, for example, black comedians who have, you know, tried to make it in more sort of, I guess, white dominated mainstream culture.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing how people fare when they adopt different approaches. Like people who, like you just said, slightly adapt their behavior in order to fit with what is a sort of mainstream white dominated culture,
yeah,
often do better than someone who continues to sort of speak in a way, to act in a way which is predominantly a black cultural reference. It's interesting. I wonder, I think it also happens in like other marginalized communities. I think it happens in like white communities, people who, let's say, are from sort of, you know, very poor white socioeconomic backgrounds, yep, who could choose, but it's just a lot harder if you're a person of color because it's like, you know, you're a white guy and you can dress up and then speak with a middle class accent. Suddenly you just look like a white guy,
yep,
who comes from middle class backgrounds. And I was like, oh, fantastic.
Yep.
I personally think it's mostly a cultural socioeconomic thing. I don't think it is first and foremost a race thing, but I think it's so hard to separate the race thing from the socioeconomic thing,
mm,
that often it must 100% feel like that for anyone, mm, who is from a BAME background. You know, it must feel like that, but I don't know what the solution is to, you know, I think positive discrimination, I guess, getting more people in the media. Sorry, am I going on?
No, I'm just going to say, Bance, what is the answer to racism?
Bro, you know what it is, yeah? The answer, look, here's the answer, yeah? Us black people don't like the cold. So give us the money you owe us and we'll fuck off back home. It's as simple as that. Do you know what I mean? It's an easy fix.
What, yeah. Reparation then go?
Absolutely.
Love it.
That could be a UKIP policy.
Bruv, if they said, bruv,
like one.
If they said to me, oi, you know what? We're going to give you the trillions of pounds that we've stolen, over the years, and you can go back to Jamaica. Bye-bye. What do you mean, bruv?
Joel.
Hey, man.
Have you been receiving the HelloFresh boxes?
Oh my Jiminy Cricket days.
So you do a pod and then people send you like samples to see if you like it and then you do the advertising.
Just brush your shoulders
off.
I'm
going off script on this one because they are so damn good. I had three separately delicious recipes.
Mm.
And do you know what? You know what I'm like? I hate doing what people tell me to do.
Yeah, this is true.
So recipes, I'm not going to follow the recipe. I'm going to do my own thing.
That's hilarious.
And then when the box first arrived, I was just like, I'm just going to ad lib with this. And I kind of like went right. Wild with all the different things, but actually the second time I sat down with the recipes and I just like, you know, swallowed my pride and followed the recipe, and they are so good.
They really are. I mean, I had
super quick
a book with like a box and it had sesame chicken. It had I can't remember the name of it now, but some really gorgeous kind of like vegetarian pasta dish. And I've got to say, I mean, I'm with you, because just if you don't know, so basically it gets delivered to your door. This is fresh food. Each meal was for two people that I had,
and they put all the ingredients together for each different recipe, and you just cook it and it's ready in literally like 7-8 minutes. They've got vegetarian options, flexitarian options,
classic boxes, family boxes, rapid boxes.
Yeah,
but actually, you know, for HelloFresh have got kind of recipes for every taste. So you go on the website and you pick a box that works for you and choose kind of exciting new recipes which are changed, you know, each and every week.
Yeah, all the options, gluten-free, dairy-free, vegetarian, anything you want basically you can choose, and it's super delicious and it's easy to make. And there is a bit of a special deal we got going on for anyone that's interested in getting HelloFresh.
Pretty banging deal, to be
fair. Try HelloFresh with 50% off your first two boxes.
50% off, mind.
Using the code ROAST, R-O-A-S-T.
ROAST promo code. So do you like a main on a Sunday roast or something like that? What's your favourite?
Absolutely.
Like?
Well, you can't really beat a good old Sunday roast. I love a Yorkshire pudding, mate.
Me too, mate.
Love a Yorkshire pudding, man. The massive ones, put everything inside it.
I'm cutting out my Yorkshire puddings because I'm slightly worried about my waistline.
Yeah, but come on, with the calories for everything else, what's a Yorkshire going to do?
It's the beer, man. It's not the fucking Yorkshires.
It's true. It is true.
I was reading something again yesterday about the amount of the booze puts on weight. Anyway, do you know what? I digress.
One pint, 2 Mars bars.
That is mental. Is that true?
I think that's true.
No, God. That would be that about be correct, actually, because a Mars bar is probably around 300 calories. Yeah, and a pint's roughly 500.
You're such a calorie counter, aren't you?
Are you a calorie counter?
I train.
Oh,
calorie
my
counter.
God, you are a fucking...
I don't count calories, but I know them because I train in it and I like to eat.
I've seen Bant on his Instagram killing... No, he's not gymming it. Oh. He's judoing it.
Are you doing
jiu-jitsu?
No
way.
Absolute jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
He is
fucking love that shit.
Around.
That's the grappling stuff, isn't it? What are those two? What's the family? The Gracie.
The
Gracie,
yeah, that's it. So, I go to a Gracie gym. So, so I do jiu-jitsu, man.
Anyway, let's talk about what you've brought for your metaphorical main course.
It has to be. Is 2018 the new 2017? Roll forward Donald Trump, man. I'm telling you, what a time to be alive, man. You know, all the banter about Donald Trump, do you know what I mean? We just couldn't believe it. I feel like he is the world's greatest internet troll. I think he's got to go down in the internet troll hall of fame, man. Even from running for president was trolling. The whole thing was trolling.
It's just the best troll.
Do you know what I mean?
Troll of ever.
I don't know if he was trying to get like another episode of The Apprentice or something, or like if he was trying to get like another loan for some more hotels or something, and he just wanted to kind of drive the publicity up. Do you know what I'm saying? And then he absolutely just stumbled upon this.
It was one big troll, wasn't it? The whole campaign was like the troll campaign.
You saw when he won and he sat down in front of Obama and he looked at him like, oh shit, bruv, like
what have I done?
Like, I'm here. Do you know what I'm saying? He couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Obama was looking him in the face like, I can't fucking believe I got a hand over my house keys to this idiot.
Yeah.
And Trump was like, holy shit, like what's gonna happen?
Have you checked out that Fire and Fury? But yeah.
No, somebody sent it to me on WhatsApp, you know.
Well, like, Melania apparently was crying the night of the election.
Dude, it's mental. It's so much more mental than I thought. And it's like it's really actually freaked me out because it's all the stuff you know. So for instance, one of the biggest donors to the Republican Party is are the NRA Mercers.
As well.
No, these guys, the Mercers. Yeah. And the Mercers, there's a daughter, and she gives huge amounts of money to the Trump campaign. And what Bannon starts talking about is how Trump basically just really sucks up to certain people who,
where's their,
who he thinks
where's
are
all
rich.
The money from Mercers?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. Mm. You know, it's rich people sucking up to richer people.
Yeah, of course.
Putin's richer than him. Yeah, so
I don't know. What is there really of... I mean, the Fire and Fury thing, I didn't really read much that felt like it had much substance in it. Also, like, the way I'm starting to feel about Trump is, like, my nuclear button is bigger than your nuclear button.
But that's
button.
Exactly
it's
what it is.
It's fucking funny. That's a funny tweet.
It is.
It's absolutely terrifying. Just, it shows that you are actually a psychopath.
But you know what? Even though he's a psychopath, like, I feel like... he must have a decent sense of humour. Like,
he's got
somewhere,
to, right?
Isn't it? He must do, because some of these tweets, bruv, like, I'm thinking, yo, he's sick, but this is actually funny.
Yeah, I'm, like, really smart.
Yeah.
Is a funny tweet.
Yeah. Like, he's an idiot. He knows.
Stable genius.
Bruv, he's either an absolute genius pretending to be stupid, or he's uncomprehensible.
Which makes him more of a genius.
Stupid, bruv.
Or he's just so encased in himself that he doesn't understand, like, even when he's been hit. Like, he has no, like, you know, one of the things that came out of a lot of the interviews, God, I've just forgotten the author's name of Fire and Fury. What's his name?
Forget his name.
Anyway, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
I got sent the download. Did you get sent
someone
the download?
I got sent it on WhatsApp.
That's going out all over the place.
Yeah.
He was saying...
he's making no money.
He was going, Trump, oh, he's not making money yet. He was saying, Trump, there's two things. One, he doesn't listen.
Mm.
And two, he doesn't read. So he's literally just, this is the president of the United States, as in like being given security briefs and going, no, no, no.
Yeah.
And he's just talking, and they say he talks on a 20-minute loop. So he's talking, and he's talking, and almost to like get it out, like like shitting it out, he has to do a tweet.
Yeah, I think he's got dementia though. Like, yeah. I think he has. Like some of the things he says, you're like somebody, he's not well. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You could tell he's not well, man.
What are the other things in 2018 that you think are going to, you know, move on from 2017?
Well, blue passports.
Blue passports, can't wait for blue passports.
So excited about that.
It's going to be exciting.
So glad that we've lost our ability to travel to countries.
The fact that people are celebrating blue passports that really people in my generation have never fucking seen, which means the people celebrating it are the old people that ain't really going to be here to see the damage that they've caused by voting to leave.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's all a bit mad.
Such a shame for all those old people that voted for Brexit. They're not going to be able to see all the amazing things that are going to happen after we leave.
But that's what I'm saying, isn't it? Like, it's fucking unfortunate, isn't it?
I think the blue passport might be quite a good idea, because our only industry after Brexit is going to be like immigration services and customs. We're going to be the best in the world at immigration services and customs, so we might as well have a, you know, a different colour passport to, you know, mark ourselves out.
I'm calling it now. I don't think Brexit's going to happen.
No, it's not happening, mate. It's absolutely not happening. Like, people at the EU are now coming out saying, don't worry, UK, we know you're fucked, but we still care about you.
Yeah. It's like a crippling breakup. You know it's what I mean? Listen, you are broken. You're broken inside, and we know that, you know, you can come back. It's
you can
right.
come back, man. Yeah, they're just cool. Like, you know what, we know you're fucked, but you know, like, no hard feelings. No hard feelings, we're still here for you, man. Like, do you know what I'm saying? They're just saying, just come back. Come
they're
on.
They're so nice, aren't they? Why are they so nice to us still?
Yeah, because they've got something that's called leverage. And when you have leverage,
you don't,
you're cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, what really fucking freaks me out, right? Like, we're recording this. This won't come out for a couple of weeks. But today I saw Anna Soubry talking about all the death threats that she's received, Conservative MP. I looked on Twitter, and to say it was unsympathetic is ridiculous, because people just adopting this language, like the traitor,
she's a Remainer, is she?
She was, I think she, yeah, she is, but she also lives in
a... Conservatives are Remainers.
Yeah.
A lot of them are, like, it's actually quite overwhelming when you actually look at the numbers. It's a strange one. It's a very strange one. A lot of them are Remainers, man.
What do you think happened? Why did Brexit happen?
Oh, I think Brexit happened because, well, when you look at the financial gain to be made from Brexit by not us, but by people very much above us, the guys that are printing the newspaper articles, the guys that are putting certain things on the television.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? They got a lot to gain from it. And I just think people got sucked in. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the like the whole narrative was very like xenophobic and it was racially charged and it was all about immigrants and that, but that had nothing to do with the real reason that actually certain people in this country were disgruntled with the EU. It was nothing to do with immigration. You know what I mean? It was to do with leverage. They wanted a bigger piece of the pie. They wanted a better seat at the table. That's all it was. So how did that turn into these immigrants and let's close our borders, man? Because they knew that that was the way of getting the vote. But that's not really what they cared about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we just got to a point where a lot of people got played, man. Yeah. That's what it was. Like 350 million to the NHS because they knew that that's something that a lot of people in this country hold close to their heart. That's what actually separates us from nearly every other country in the world was our free health service. That's a big part of being British, having that. Do you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people that kind of love this country and identify as British, like that's one of the things they're most proud of. So to say, oh, we're going to put more money in that, a lot of people voted for that alone.
I know. I've spoken to people.
That alone.
Who are like, yeah, I'm voting for Brexit simply because there are too many people coming over here and burdening our NHS.
Yep.
Do you know what I don't know how to react to that.
It's like, this is the bottom line
so
truth.
So confused.
Yeah. Majority of countries in Europe have white people in them.
Yep.
Right. These people are pissed off about brown people, orange people, yellow people, purple people, fucking any other colour but white.
Yeah.
Right. How stupid do you have to be to think everyone who's from Pakistan is just going to go home or something because you leave Europe?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you missing here?
Yeah.
These guys still have the same passport as you.
Well, your name, for long.
You know what I mean?
Not for long.
Because if you look at it, yeah, like I grew up with, I had a Somalian family that moved in probably when I was a teenager next door. All their kids have got fucking British passports. You think they're leaving? Do you know what I mean? So what do you mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even though they weren't born here, they got their passports.
Brexit man wishes they
so
were leaving.
So because they've got their passports, and even though Somalia ain't in Europe anyway, but the fact is these guys have got British passports. All of these immigrants, a lot of these Polish people, whatever, they got British passports, bro. Like I know a lot of Polish people that have been over here for long enough and they've got their citizenship. They're not going home.
Do you know what I'm going to do, right? I've made a promise to myself that this summer I'm going to do a proper European road trip because this genuinely, I don't know what it's going to be like after. Like they could be so
like
stringent.
A final
on the
road
borders.
Trip. Well, see all those
like
countries.
We can just go through and it's fine.
Yeah.
Because you don't know in 2019. It may well genuinely be.
What would be more
like,
fun is doing it after 2019. See if you can get yourself across the border.
We should film it as well.
Plane, train, and automobile.
That's what I'm saying.
Going to from France to Spain. Can we possibly get into the Costa del Sol?
One of my sort of, you know, after all the whining and complaining from Remainers, I was thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, maybe we should just get out. Maybe it would result in a sort of flourishing of British industry again. But there's a great thing on the BBC I was listening to recently, which was just describing just how intertwined manufacturing and industry is globally, but specifically in Europe. It's like you think of Germany and you say to yourself, oh, the Germans are really good at manufacturing stuff. They're like a high tech nation. They're good at making cars, you know, robotic limbs, all these kinds of things. No, that's not true. What's true is that companies that were based in Germany originally are good at that stuff.
Yeah.
The German nation isn't. The extent to which industry and manufacturing is so interlinked with all the different countries, widgets coming from the UK, another widgets coming from France, something else from Poland. Literally any company that wants to survive in that globalized market has to go for the cheapest possible option every time it's looking for a specific part for a specific object that it wants to create. So you take yourself out of that 350 million people that are doing that and are all in a sort of, you know, trade pact together where they get everything without any tariffs, you're fucked. Like you are fucked. Anyway, that's the end of my
second rambling point.
It's
the fucking truth. But again, they've put a decision to leave the EU in the hands of people that know fuck all about what they're voting for.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? The whole thing, that's why it was advisory, like, because these people don't know shit. Do you know what I mean? And they're not meant to know shit. They don't teach us politics at school. Most people don't know what the EU is. Do you know what I'm saying? So they don't know how the EU is built up. They don't know what are EU laws. They don't know the fact that our lawyers had
EU
a big
is.
Fucking part to do with writing up these EU laws in the first place. So we knew what we were getting ourselves into. It wasn't something that these guys wrote up and said, "Ah, oh, just sign here, guys." Do you know what I'm saying? Like that shit don't happen overnight. If it's taking us, 2 to 3 years to leave the EU, and I reckon it would take closer to 10 years with having to rewrite laws and all that. How long did it take for us to write everything up and agree to go into? This was not a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So to think that we as people,
yeah,
when I say 99.99% of these people don't have a fucking clue what's going on, we're actually giving a vote.
It's so true.
What for?
It's so true. I mean, I don't know what the fuck is going on, and they gave me the fucking right to vote in that fucking referendum. I don't fucking know. What I'm good at is spotting people that do seem to know what they're talking about.
That's it.
So I'd much prefer to just give them the responsibility and they fucking decide what to
but
do.
It's true. What are we paying you for?
Yeah.
Because we are paying you.
Don't ask me.
You know what I'm saying? What are you paying for? And then you're asking me.
What do you think is going to happen with like Theresa May's government, like in 2018,
Bans? They're going to continue to capitulate, and also I just believe that I don't believe we're going to leave the EU. But all that's going to happen is there's going to be a lot more posturing, and then they're either going to come to an agreement that is basically like we're in the EU, but we're not in the EU on paper, but nothing's going to change. Right. Do you know what I mean? Which is probably what's going to happen. Because let's face it, the reality of us actually leaving, it's not worth it for anyone.
Like a Lenore soft Brexit.
Yeah, it's going
like
to be
like a fabric-conditioned
so
Brexit.
Do you know what I mean? It's going to be like...
soft and cosy Brexit.
So instead of us pretty much having like the second or third seat at the table, we're just going to be at the end of the table, but we're still going to be in the EU. That's what's going to happen. So actually, we've actually forfeited the benefits that we did have, but we're still going to have to practice EU law. We're still going to have to do all the other things. We're not leaving, man. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think we're in a situation where they're trying to appease the people that want to leave to make it look like they're upholding democracy. But yeah, it's a load of bullshit.
Do you think there's going to be a second referendum?
I don't think there is, because I don't think they're going to leave it to chance. I think they already know we're fucked, so they're just going to make sure that we don't leave the EU, but they're going to make it look like we do. I don't think they're going to leave it to the people again, because they can't be trusted, clearly. Do you know what I'm saying? Even though I think that Remain would win overwhelmingly now, because people know that they're being fucked.
I don't know. So do you know what I mean? Farage is right. Do you think Farage is calling
from
for
Farage,
that referendum?
Yeah, because Farage is losing money. He's got EU pension. He's like, hold on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's
he just
like,
wants to
actually,
be back in the
yeah,
public eye. He wants to be talking about it.
Do you know what? I wish I thought that was true.
Farage is probably thinking, you know what? Yeah, like, my money's depreciating now. Like, this is getting serious.
He's lost some Twitter followers.
That's it.
No one cares.
I totally agree that there is like naked ambition in Farage. But I sort of think sometimes that he does have his finger on the pulse. And I see on Twitter, you know, I don't like looking at Katie Hopkins' Twitter. Yeah, I think there's a lot of angry white people out there.
There's a lot of angry white people out there. But I just think the ones that weren't angry and genuinely voted for Brexit, for NHS causes and other things like that, they've seen that actually we're fucked anyway. They're not going to vote that way. Because I actually saw a lot of people realising that actually the amount of money we're going to have to shell out, we're going to be literally 20 times worse off than if we just stayed in the first place.
So, Rance, what is your dessert going to be for us?
The dessert would have to be... Bitcoin. And all of... Definitely Bitcoin's the new vegan. It's the it's the vegan of 2018, man. We've got, all of these... unqualified financial advisors popping out the woodwork trying to tell you where you should put your hard-earned money. It's absolute comedy. These guys don't have a math GCSE between them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And all of a sudden, they're like Wall Street traders.
Yeah, everyone. In every office.
It's
everyone
on
is
Twitter. Yeah. It's on Facebook. Yeah. It's on everything, because you made 50 quid. Like, I could make that on betting on football. Yeah. Like, that doesn't impress me.
You say that, but I do know people who've literally made like tens of thousands of pounds.
I know people
in like
that,
no time.
I know people that have made hundreds of thousands and millions from cryptocurrency. Yes, but Bitcoin specifically is done, mate. Like,
you
if you're jumping
burst
on Bitcoin now, it's too late.
Yeah.
All the people that put their money in 5-6 years ago, I know people that have literally.
Yeah.
Like, I know a guy, he's a financial advisor, and one of his clients put $100,000 in.
Holy shit!
And about 4 years ago. Yeah. He made 34 million and retired.
Right. Oh my God.
Exactly. But that was that long ago. Yeah. But now, like any good businessman would tell you, saturation is not positive. It's not positive for anyone, man. It's like, it don't matter what you're dealing with, man. Whether it's drugs or whatever, any drug dealer would tell you, man. I'm telling you, man. If there's a drought, prices go up. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's pure string of bell right there.
That is. It's right there. Prices go up, man, because it's harder to get. When everyone jumps on the bandwagon, it devalues it. It's just like when they start printing money. Mm. Once there's more money floating around,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Your money's not worth what it used to be.
Inflation, yeah.
There you go.
I like the idea of being the last guy that bought a Bitcoin. The last dude who came along and was like, I know what I'm going to do. Buy some of that Bitcoin.
That's it, man.
But there's like, so many. There's like one called Ripple.
But there you go. There's
Kanye
different
coin,
currencies.
Which I think is just hilarious.
There's Kanye coin.
That is a real thing. It's no joke. But someone told me the other day, and I've absolutely no idea if this is true, that the first time that Bitcoin was used, they spent 100 Bitcoin to buy a pizza. That's like over £1 million for a pizza.
And that's what I mean. And the thing is, if you know anything about life, we're definitely moving to a cashless society. Mm. Like we are. Like they don't take cash on buses anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things
it's
now.
It's quite annoying, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very annoying. But then we've got your, what's it called?
The sort of
your contactless. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The whole of the world is moving to a cashless society.
Yeah. Do you think that's good?
I don't think it's good, but the reason why it's happening is because everyone knows that money doesn't, that money's not real. Do you know what I mean? There's no actual worth of money. It's just a piece of paper. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if your pound coins were real gold coins and they were solid gold, then your pound coin would be worth a lot more than a pound. Do you know what I'm saying?
So for anyone who doesn't know about this, in the 50s there was a decoupling of the gold standard to currency, and what happened was that the inflation of how much money essentially was actually worth was completely decoupled from reality. And then you had this crazy thing where, I think it was in the 1970s, this modern money mechanics, which meant that a bank essentially could hold 20% reserve and basically lend out 80%, which is ridiculous. And then whenever they actually kind of give you a loan, they're actually printing money, precisely, which is the biggest fucking head fuck in the world. I mean, like this, I'm not in any way claiming to really understand this stuff. There are economists who really do. But even knowing that much, it's a bit like, okay, it's the Matrix, basically.
Well, there you go.
It?
So if they're printing money, that means actually it's not worth that because they don't have that to give you. Mm. So basically it's credit. So you might as well get rid of the paper anyway and everyone just live in credit because that's exactly where we're going.
It's going to suck for hip-hop videos.
No cash.
No one's going to be able to make it rain.
But no one's going to be able to make it rain at all.
Where are you going to have the stacks?
You know what I mean? You're just going to have
shot
to pull out your American Express and just be dancing with your ass.
I love the idea of us all being like in our 70s and 80s and that's like really old school. Like, oh yeah, remember when Puffy and
that's
Biggie
what I mean,
like,
had
yeah
the little dollar bills making it rain.
Doesn't look quite as good just throwing your Amex onto the, at mean a woman.
But I'm like, listen, yeah, make sure you put the limit on my card on the front. Do you know what I'm saying? So people
just put your limit on at 250 and then do it.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. But we're moving to a cashless society, whether people like it or not. So when people say, oh, like, we're fucking the system by doing it and they can't regulate our money, please understand that if the government wanted, they could ban this shit. The reason why they're not banning it is because they want you to jump on it, because ultimately that's the way we're going. That's the new system.
But I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think you make a few people rich off it, that's enough incentive to get everyone else to jump on it, and then it would depreciate. There's always going to be a few winners.
But the thing is, it can't depreciate.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It can't depreciate the same way, because my understanding of what a Bitcoin is just a number.
Yeah.
A number that cannot be repeated.
Yeah.
So the whole point of currency inflation is that the value can just exponentially change up and down.
Mm.
Right? But this, there can only be a certain amount of numbers, a finite amount, which makes it a more locked in currency. Now, I'm not saying, again, that I'm an expert on this. I'm absolutely not. But it seems almost more logical.
All I know about it is because I never got on the train 3-4 years ago, I hope to fuck all of my friends lose all the money they've invested. Because it'll make me feel
and there you
much
have
better.
Hayden's personality in a nugget of things.
Absolute hater. With it, though, it is like it's so volatile. Like even my guy was saying today, like, he woke up and he's like, yo, my shit's down 20%, bro. Mm. Just like that.
Overnight.
Yeah, overnight. Wow. That's what it does. Do you know what I'm saying? Cash currency don't do that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you invest in stocks and stuff like that, it doesn't do that. But this thing is so volatile. He even said, no matter how clued up you are, you're always gambling because you have to have a number in your head and say, when I get this, I'm pulling it out.
Yeah.
Because you just never know. And the more people that know, the more people that invest. And when you actually look into who are actually controlling these things at the top, there's a very small number of people.
Mm.
That worries me. Do you know what I'm saying? That worries me a lot. You know what I mean? So it's just one of them things, man. Like, definitely, if you're going to do it, because everyone's jumping to do it, but just know that really and truly, you are gambling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone, now's the time to invest. Get on board Bitcoin. It's going to go through the roof. Everyone, invest now.
Invest in cryptocurrency. Yeah. Yes, Bitcoin. There's not money to make in Bitcoin.
Rance, thank you so much for coming on News Roast. I know you've got a massive year this year. What can people be looking out for that's coming up?
Oh, man. I've been booked for a few festivals in the summer. I can't say which ones, but yeah, it's been a good start to the year.
Plus one.
Yeah, you know I mean, I got wristbands. Okay, so. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's gonna be a good summer. Do you know what I'm saying? And then just throughout the year, there's gonna be loads of content, and all my content you can find on. Well, the easiest thing to do is go to ransombants.com. All my social media links are on there: the YouTube, the Facebook, Instagram. And the Twitter, so you can get everything on ransombants.com. There's links for
you
that.
You can watch him doing jiu-jitsu. You can hear his issues with Clapham Junction train station.
I love it and hate it. It's amazing.
Well, listen, mate, thank you so much for coming on.
I have no problem.
And
thanks very much.
We will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Yeah.